prophet who prophesies, and he's quoting Deuteronomy 28 here, or Deuteronomy 18. The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, if it happens, then that prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. So, does it come true? That's the test. Who's right, JD or me? Well, we'll know on Friday. Okay. Then Hananiah the prophet. So is he put in his place? There's two absolutely conflicting messages. Is he put in his place? No, he protests even more loudly. He takes the yoke off Jeremiah's neck. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet. Now he breaks it. This is all symbolic, parabolic message sending by these prophets. You know, Jeremiah puts the yoke on his neck. This is what you must do. Hananiah takes it off his neck and breaks it right in front of him. Because that's his message. And he broke it. Verse 11, then Hananiah spoke in the presence of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so, just like this, I will break within two years, the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations. Now what does Jeremiah say? What can he say? Is this whatever? If that's what you want to believe, that's what you're going to believe. But so Jeremiah walks away. Verse 12, the word of the Lord then came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go speak to Hananiah now, saying, thus saith the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, big deal, but you have made instead of them yokes of iron. Time out. What does he mean by that? Now, I will confess, early in my studies of this, I had to get a service for Kathy to print. I chose a particular song in response already because I wasn't sure where this was all going to go, but I thought, I think this is what that means, and I chose a song, a response. After I studied a little more, meditated on it, prayed about it, read it over and over and over again, I realized that isn't even what this means. So I had to switch our final songs. See how easy it is when we're reading the scripture, especially when you don't have time to dig into it. It's so easy to come to wrong conclusions. So he is not saying, I gave you an easy yoke, here's a hard one. And then I'm going to talk about Jesus' yoke in just a moment, but that's not primarily what he's saying here. What he's saying is, big deal, tough guy. You broke a yoke of wood. But I haven't given these people a yoke of wood. I've given Tyre and Sidon and Ammon and Moab and Edom and Judah a yoke of iron. It is not going to change. That's the point there. You have made instead of them a yoke of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. So here's the point. Here's how I know that my second interpretation is better. Because the Lord says, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations. It's going to happen that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. They're going to. How it's going to look for them is dependent upon how they're going to respond to my word. Do they want to submit and obey me and endure the discipline? Or are they going to believe the lie because that's what they want to believe and then die by sword, famine, or pestilence? That's the choice they have to make. They shall serve him, the end of verse 14. And I have also given him the beasts of the field. Again, everything. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. Someday every false teacher, every false prophet is going to hear those words. The Lord did not send you. And you have made this people trust in a lie. Whoa. Better a millstone be tied around someone's neck than for this to happen. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm going to remove you from the face of the earth. This year, you're going to die because you have counseled rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year, in the seventh month. It did not go well for the false prophet. Whoa, let's fill in our outline. Number one, this is one of the things that's going on in me as I'm reading through Jeremiah devotionally. And I had to dig to get more answers. But the first question that comes to my mind when I'm reading passages like this in the fog, how can there be such conflicting messages? Is Hananiah just this wicked, evil murderer, bank robber guy? Probably not. This fellow I was sharing the gospel with this week was just, how could those intelligent, good Jewish people kill Jesus? I just can't grasp. Well, they were, by the world standards, good people. But here's part of the answer. A, people believe what they want to believe. You and I do this. And we have to be very careful about this. People believe what they want to believe. Didn't Hananiah's message sound a whole lot better than Jeremiah's? And did it not line up basically with the Bible? We're God's people. How dare Nebuchadnezzar? My God will, you know, David and Goliath. It made a lot of sense. So when I'm reading it, I'm sympathizing with the people to a degree because it's like, that would be very attractive. And the corollary to that is people receive what they want to receive then. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. But they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. That's what people do. They will go to churches where they hear what they want to hear. And pastors will stand in pulpits and say what the people want to hear because the pastor believes what he wants to believe. And it's so dangerous. The heart is wickedly deceitful. The religious Jews put Jesus to death because he threatened their life. He threatened the life that they had. Better that one man die than for a whole nation to perish. It made perfect sense. Here comes a guy, he's breaking the Sabbath. Let's look at the guy. Doesn't obey the law of God? Theologically, can you not see their arguments? But on the flip side, could you not see the miracles? Could you not see the fruit? Which we'll come to that in just a moment. So I think these are tough questions. And my thought is they could not have been foggy people. They couldn't have been prayerful and humble and open people. They couldn't have been truly, sincerely, humbly praying to God for wisdom and guidance. They just couldn't have been that kind of a person and still missed it. I don't think. So, Jeremiah chapter 7, I'm just going to turn back to chapter 17 for just a moment. Listen to Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is more deceitful than all else. Listen, the heart is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. You and I better be prayerful, and we'd better be humble, and we'd better be open to what God is saying. Amen? We'd better be, or we will easily be misled. Okay, number two. How do we know which message is from God? Okay, one way is, letter A, the truth will come to light. Jesus taught that. I see it in life all the time. The truth will come out. Friday, we're going to know, JD. We're going to know. Now, sometimes, and here's another one, time will tell. And this is found in Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 through 22. If you want to cross-reference that, you'll see clearly a false prophet. If it comes to pass, then it was from the Lord. If it didn't come to pass, you know what? Just stop here a second. There have been many prognostications by Christian preachers over the years and Christian groups over the years. One particular group, I won't say the name publicly, but you know who they are probably, but they predict date, 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 the date passes, membership falls off, they start a brand new campaign with a new face on it, they predict a date, membership rises, the date passes, membership, it's a pattern. False prophets. But if you show that to a member of that group, they have all kinds of excuses for justifying how that happened. It's like, come on. That's a false prophet. Well, we don't always have time to wait. Now, how do I know how this is going to turn out? Y2K, if you look at history, Y2K, the same thing happened at 1-2K, or Y1K. The same thing happened. People were saying, it's the end of the world, it's the end of the world. And it wasn't. So I would say, if you're following a preacher, you're listening to a preacher who said it was, I would stop listening to that preacher. So, anyway, what we can do is examine the fruit. That is one thing we can do today. Matthew 7, 15 through 16. Beware of the false prophets, Jesus said, it's up above, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. They look good, it sounds good, it's what you may even want to hear.